ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुम्बन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः। अथ कर्मयोगो नाम तृतीयोऽध्यायः। अर्जुन उवाच जायसी चेत्कर्मणस्ते मता बुद्धिर्जनार्दन तत्किं कर्मणि घोरे मान्नियोजयसि केशव। व्यामिश्रेणेव वाक्येन बुद्धिं मोहयसीव मे तदेकं वद निश्चित्य येन श्रेयोऽहमाप्नुयाम्। श्रीभगवानुवाच लोकेऽस्मिन् द्विविधा निष्ठा पुरा प्रोक्ता मया नघ। ज्ञानयोगेन साङ्ख्यानाम् कर्मयोगेन योगिनाम्। न कर्मणामनारम्भान्नैष्कर्म्यम् पुरुषोऽश्नुते न च सन्न्यसनादेव सिद्धिं समधिगच्छति। बिफोर् वि गो टु दि नेक्स्ट् वर्सस् वि नो वेरि वेल् द थर्ड् चाप्टर् प्रसेन्स् दि डिसिप्लिन् आफ् कर्मयोग एलाबरेट्लि, बट् स्टिल् by way of our answering Arjuna's question, Bhagavad Pada in the very third verse makes it very clear. Two different committed lifestyles are for people of two different mental makeup, the two different disciplines. And here we saw how the Sankhyaha was supposed to be following the discipline of Jnana Yoga or of different mental makeup. Their mindset is different. Similarly, people, the non-sanyasinaha, non-sanyasinah definitely must be grihasthaha or maybe vanaprasthaha also, who are given to the discipline of karma yoga. All the people of other ashramas have no choice, have to follow the discipline of karma yoga. The duties may differ, but the discipline, karma becomes a discipline for all of them, people of all ashrams. For them, karma yoga is the discipline. And there's no way of combining these two disciplines. There's no way of combining jnanam with the karma as a means of attainment of moksha. This fact has been made very clear. So yesterday some doubts were there. I thought let me make it very clear again without entering into the actual topic, into the text itself. So this teaching, which I had explained even when I did the Moola Grantha, when I did the original text, when I, without explaining Bhashyam also, I did explain the Bhashyam before, without explaining Bhashyam also, when I explained the verses themselves, I explained this. And many of you have thoroughly studied Gita home study to second round and had to also. So there shall be any doubt. But let me make it very clear. This Puja Samji's talks actually, this is from what Swamiji explained, I'm going to say now. Of course, Karma Yoga is a way of life, is a discipline, wherein all actions become converted into a preparatory discipline. Everyone has to perform karma. Some karma or the other, everyone has to perform. Everyone has one's own duties. Everyone has one's own different actions in playing different roles. Every individual has to play different roles. In playing every role, one has one's duties. As a professional, one has duties. As a father, one has duties. As a husband, one has duties. As a son, one has duties. So in playing every role, one has duties. And one has to perform all those duties. When I say duty, what should be done is a duty. Kartavyam is karyam. What should be done? There's no choice. That's why we say Panchamaha Yajnas are also involved here. So Panchamaha Yajnas means you doing a duty itself is converted into an action, I mean into a worship. So doing all one's duties with the proper attitude as an offering to Bhagavan in conformity with Dharma, that's very important. In conformity with Dharma is yoga. Only if it is performed the proper attitude as an offering to Bhagavan, it becomes a preparatory discipline. If it is simply performed, it doesn't become a discipline. It doesn't become a preparatory discipline. Again, it is performed in conformity with Dharma, it becomes a preparatory discipline. If an action performed is not in keeping with one's knowledge of right and wrong, if it is not governed by Dharma, then it cannot become a preparatory discipline. And even if a person performs everything with the proper attitude as an offering to Bhagavan in conformity with Dharma, if a person, there must be proper attitude on his part in accepting, facing all situations in life also. Every situation, from morning till evening, every situation that one goes through continuously in life, all those situations, whether desirable or undesirable, the pleasant or unpleasant also, a person who focuses on mental preparation for jnanam as a person of purushartha nischaya, a person must have such an attitude towards all situations also. That means one must know this, that all situations in life definitely come and go. They're impermanent. Agama apayinaha anityaha. There's no doubt. There's nothing which is permanent here. How many times you remember this? Agama apayinaha anityaha. Tan tirikshasa, Bhagavan said, therefore one has to learn to endure them. If we don't learn to endure them, what choice do you have? You'll endure them. Enduring them, endurance of all situations, pairs of opposites in life, means what? Remaining the same, remaining balanced in all situations, which is the most difficult thing. Most difficult. Remaining the same. Remaining the same means success comes, there's no elation. Failure comes, there's no dejection. Loss comes, there is no dejection. Gain comes, there's no elation. Victory comes, there's no elation. Defeat comes, there's no dejection. Honor comes, there's no elation. Dishonor comes, there's no dejection. It is not an easy joke. Remaining the same, remaining balanced in all situations is not an easy joke. And remaining the same, maintaining one's mental equanimity in all situations, desirable or undesirable, is very important. And that is yoga. That itself, learning to endure them, remaining the same equanimously, itself is a discipline. This yoga. Samattam yoga uchyate. Remember this. Samattam yoga uchyate. But how is it possible? It's not possible. It's very difficult. Yes, it is possible, for which we say repeatedly, this is not a new lesson. Second chapter lesson, I'm repeating again here. Why? Because it is possible to remain the same only if a person has understanding two facts. One fact is what? All these situations come and go. Another one is the person, as a spiritual person, remembers what I'm aspiring for is permanent happiness. That permanent happiness is not attainable as a result of action. It is not in any of these objects of the world. It is not attainable at all. There is something to be discovered as my own sarupam. So that even as a mumukshu, as a jignyasu bhakta, karma yogi is very clear, happiness, which is his everlasting goal, which is his ultimate goal, mokshaha, is in discovering the sarupam of Bhagavan, discovering sarupam of Bhagavan as one's own sarupam. He knows he is dependent on his jnanam only for his moksha. Therefore, moksha being ultimate goal for, without prushatisthi, one cannot even live a life of karma yoga, which something makes it very clear. There's no way of living a life of karma yoga without prushatisthi. Only a person of prushatisthi can live a life of karma yoga. Therefore, he is not dependent on situations. Therefore, he understands the nature of all situations, all paths of opposites, that they're impermanent, they come and go. Therefore, he can accept. At the same time, another fact, important fact is, all these paths of opposites are determined by the karma phala data Bhagavan in the form of natural laws. Therefore, they're unchangeable. Therefore, this law ordained results, law ordained situations, or Lord ordained situations. This understanding of this fact also is there. Therefore, he is able to see all the situations as Bhagavan's prasada. Therefore, he is able to accept them with sameness of mind without any denial. Therefore, they can remain the same also because they come and go. They are not permanent. These are the subtle things one needs to understand to remain balanced always. And one can also remain without just being disturbed. And also remain without being disturbed by situations, comparing oneself with others' lives also. It's very important. So this Ishvara Prasada Buddhi in facing all situations, in receiving all the situations, all paths of opposites in life. So Ishvara Buddhi, Ishvara Prasada, Karane Ishvara Buddhi. So in experiencing parts of opposites, there is prasada buddhi, samattam yoga uchyate. In karmasu kaushalam yoga, we understood very well, there's no choice. Karma yogi is the one who cannot compromise with dharma for anything. Dharma anushtanam is very, very important. So you will not compromise with dharma means what? He will be very careful, knowingly. He will not do anything wrong. Before doing, he will think twice and therefore he'll do, see whether the actions are in conformity with dharma or not. And he will refrain from anything wrong and he will do only what is right. Which means his actions will never be dictated by his personal likes and dislikes. His actions always be governed by his knowledge of right and wrong. Therefore, dharma governs his actions. Dharma governs his knowledge of dharma. Knowledge of right and wrong governs a karma yogi's life. Karma yogi's actions. And a karma yogi knows very well whatever is ordained to happen, destined to happen, determined to happen, will happen in keeping with one's own punya papams of the past lives. At the same time, he will not remain inactive. Just because what is going to happen in life cannot be changed, he will not remain inactive. He will be active, doing the needful, having his focus on mental preparation for the jnanam which has to be accomplished. Because the goal itself is jnanam and moksha. Therefore, whatever is ordained to destined to happen in life, that he will not be bothered about it. Even though he expects the results, he wants the results, he aspires for the results, still he is focused on mental preparation for jnanam and moksha. As a Prasna Purushartha Nischaya, he still is very active. I mean, he is always conscious of what should be done. He is conscious of avoiding what should not be done. That is how he becomes a person of contributor also. Karma Yogi's life is a life of contribution. That is how a Karma Yogi's life is lived in tune with the universal law and order, universal natural moral law and order. Therefore, he contributes for the universal harmony, taking care of his own harmony in life. This Karma Yogi. So the Karma Yogi for him is very conscious of dharma. He knows Sanchita Karma is there. He knows that Parabdha Karma is being exhausted. He knows Agami Karma is also going to be there. Unless he lives consciously life of dharma, Agami Karma must be only Punya Karma. So he is very conscious of dharma. Not for Agami Punyam. His Agami Karma must be punyam for him because his focus is on preparation. Because mental preparation in terms of mental purification, mental steadiness, purely dependent on Bhagavan's grace. And Bhagavan's grace cannot be tapped unless a person lives a life of dharma. So only by living strictly a life of dharma, having one's focus on mental preparation for jnanam, one can earn Bhagavan's grace in the form of mental preparedness. So Bhagavan's grace has to manifest in the form of one's mental preparation, mental purification, mental steadiness. So even if the karmic karmas are performed by him, but karmic karmas are not performed simply for the sake of fulfillment of fulfilling karmic karmas, but he is conscious of dharma. Because consciously living a life of dharma, karmic karmas become naturally reduced. Again, he knows he is not, karma yogi is not dependent on results of actions for his happiness, for his security. Karma yogi also, like a jnani, Karma Yogi is not a jnani, but like a jnani, he is not dependent on karma or karma palam for his permanent happiness or security. But still he wants karma palam for living his life. Therefore, he is expecting the results. Puja Swamiji always says, it's not possible for one to do anything without expecting a result. Prayojanam anuddishya mandopina pravartate. So Karma Yogi is the one, is not a foolish person, of course, very intelligent person, that he performs expecting a result, wanting the result, for the result, but he is 100% prepared to accept any result with the sameness of mind. Because he knows his commitment to dharma is his strength. Commitment to dharma is his strength. Commitment to dharma, the focus is on preparation of the my mental preparation for jnanam, which itself is mokshaha. This is karma yoga. Therefore, he is a jignyasu bhaktaha. A jignyasu bhakta only can become a karma yogi. So, he is still the mental purification in terms of what? Viveka vairagyam. Antakarana shuddhi, antakarana naishchalyam implies what? He has to, isn't it? Viveka and vairagyam. He knows Viveka. He has the Viveka, but still Viveka has to become stronger. He has a certain degree of vairagyam, but vairagyam has to become much stronger. This is karma yogi. Whereas asankhya, when you say jnana yoga is this a discipline to be followed by a sankhya sannyasi. Sankhya is a sannyasi here. Here, Swamiji taught us about twofold sannyasa. Sannyasa. So, vividisha sannyasa and vidvat sannyasa. Yesterday's class, I did not mention all this because this we have discussed in my original, when I did the original text without bhashya. Vividisha sannyasa and vidvat sannyasa. So, sankhyaha, sannyasinaha, can be vividisha sannyasinaha or vidvat sannyasinaha. What is vividisha sannyasi? Who is a vividisha sannyasi? So, vividisha means vetum icha vividisha. It's a desirative word, isn't it? Like muksha, bubuksha, moktum icha moksha, jnatum icha jignyasa, that vetum icha vividisha, vetum icha vividisha, desire to know is vividisha. So vividisha sannyasaha means the person who is desirous of knowing, who has yet to know the truth, and who knows knowledge is the only means of attainment of moksha, who knows the value of jnanam, who knows the value of moksha, therefore who wants to know. At the same time, the person is no more interested in anything else. He said to know. Therefore, what? He's totally the person who wants to commit his life totally to the pursuit of knowledge, to the exclusion of everything else. The exclusion of the pursuit of all other pursuits. He is no more interested in pursuing artha kamas. It must be the vairagya. One must, oh, what shall I do for me tomorrow's food? If I don't have money, what will I do? Such a fear is not there. All that I want in my life is only jnanam. I have to attain jnanam. That's why I'm saying it's emotional strength, isn't it? If a person is totally committed to the pursuit of jnanam, because moksha is his only goal in life, jnanam itself is moksha, he is no more interested, means the vivekaha, because of the strength of viveka. And his vairagyam also is tremendous vairagyam. Yes, vairagyam is very firm dispassion towards everything else. He knows, Vahoy, world is not source of happiness, nor is the world responsible for his unhappiness. The only source of happiness is one's own Swarupam, for which he needs to know, which is Bhagavan Swarupam. And so whatever he, unhappiness is also not because of anything in the world. Unhappiness is because of the ignorance of one's own self. Therefore, he wants to get rid of ignorance. So his only commitment is to the pursuit of jnana. Such a person with a vairagyam, purna vairagyam, vairagyavan purushaha. Because, no, vivekavan purushaha. When he takes a life of sannyasa, in order to know the truth, as Ivisha Sannyasi, he is also Sankhya, he is also Sannyasi. If at all the such a person is Vividisha Sannyasi, the person who is aspiring for jnanam, with the total commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, the exclusion of everything else, he lives a life of sannyasa, and where he places his mind, that makes him a sannyasi. Where is the mind? What is he interested in? Attention does not deviate from Shastram. Attention does not go away from Bhagavan. The whole, whatever can happen in the world, he is not at all bothered, he's not interested. He can place his, if he's, yes, to begin from the beginning, he must be given the deficit of either Shravanam. All the time he must be involved in Shravanam. Or he must be in mananam, he must be involved in mananam of what he has already heard in the shravanam. The whole day, from morning until the time he gets up until he falls asleep, his mind must be involved in things pertaining to the jnanam only. That is why sannyasis are taken. Hacha sannyasi is there. Where is the mind? Shravanam, mananam, shravanam, mananam, shravanam, mananam, shravanam, mananam. So, Vidisha sannyasi. A hacha person must be highly a person of piety, softness, kindness, and compassion. Because Viveka Vairagyam is not possible unless the person is a person of daya and dharma also. Therefore, how did this person get this qualification? Maybe because of the punyam he has earned in this janma, or because of the previous janma's punya karma, because janmantra samskara, or because of the lifestyle he lived in this life, in this janma. Somehow the person has earned his qualification, Viveka Vairagyam, and his mental makeup is different. He is not interested in anything else. So he takes life of sannyasa. The sannyasi is called Vividisha Sannyasi. And because his mind is placed only in Shastra, there's a tapas, it's not an easy joke. It's not an easy joke. Most of the time the person spends all the time in Shastram, in the form of listening, in the form of dwelling upon, reflecting upon it. Therefore, the person's needs are also taken care of. Basic needs are taken care of in society, in Vedic society. Because the punyam also, such people are non harmful people whose presence really contribute for society's well-being also. Therefore, their needs are food and shelter are taken care of, food and clothing are taken care of by other people. They give bhiksha. They can serve on bhiksha. They can just live with the basic needs, very basic needs, food, shelter and clothing. They can live. such a person is Vidisha Sannyasi. Even there, Vairagyam is very firm. Viveka must be there. And if a person is given to the disciple of this Vidisha Sannyasi himself, later on, because of his tapas of involving himself in the Shravanam and Mananam all the time, when he has a clear understanding of the teaching, or this is what the teaching is all about, when he understands Aham Brahma Asmi, Sarvam Brahma Asti, Brahma Evasti, that Brahma Aham Evasmi. Therefore, Aham Nitya Mukta Swarupaha. My Swarup means freedom already. He is Achya Sannyas. Then also, Sannyasi does not become anything else. The Vidisha Sannyasi, naturally in due course of time, should become who? Vidvat Sannyasi. So, a person who has Jnanam now is Vidvat Sannyasi. So for Vidisha Sannyasi himself, Vairagya must be there. Sannyasi, Vidisha Sannyasi or Vidvat Sannyasi, for them, Vairagyam is Purnam. Vidisha Sannyasi wants only Jnanam. Vidisha Sannyasi doesn't want Jnanam also. Why? He has attained Jnanam. He has the Jnanam. Vidvat Sannyasi, the renunciate who is endowed with the Jnanam, is a Vidvat Sannyasi. Which means what? Sannyasi, he doesn't do any karma. A sannyasi cannot involve himself in any kamya karmas. There won't be kama. If a kama desire is there, then he can perform actions for the fulfillment of desires. What is kamya karma? Kamya karma is a karma to be performed for fulfillment of one's desires. So, if at all there are any karma, very few little karma, physical any karma, those karmas must be done by Isha Sannyasi, Rudra Sannyasi, only for maintaining the body, that's all. Very limited. There are no specific kamya karmas. Sannyasi is the one who has no kamya karmas. The fulfillment of a specific, I have this desire to be fulfilled. No kamya karmas. If at all any desire is there on the part of a sannyasi because of parabdha vashat, that karma is, that desire is only for the loka sangraha. Against a non-binding desire, because the sannyasi is not dependent on the fulfillment of desire for his happiness or security. He knows no karma palam can be a source of happiness or security. So he is not attached. That the sannyasi is not even karma yogi is not dependent on the karma or result of action for his happiness or security, even though he wants the results. Because of inadequate maturity. Whereas a sannyasi is absolutely non-dependent on karma or karmapalam for his happiness or security. There's no desire also. It is not possible for sannyasi to have desire for anything else. Therefore, kamya karmas are not there on the part of a sannyasi. No kamya karma. So we can see what are the karmas you have. Kamya karma is not there completely. And the part of Vidisha Sannyasi, of course, the part of Vidvat Sannyasi also. No kamya karma. What about Pratishiddham karma? Pratishiddham karma or Nishiddham karma? Prohibited actions. Of course, a karma yogi also is cannot involve himself in prohibited actions. And what can we talk about is sannyasis. Which are sannyasi or the sannyasi, why should they? Absolutely free from pratishiddha karmas, kamya karmas. No kamya karma, no pratishiddham karma. Now what about nitya karmas? Karma yogi has to do nitya karma. Nitya karma obligatory duties, the prescribed duties, vihitam karma, prescribed duties. Sandhyavandanadi. Now, nowadays we get Sandhyavandanadi. Those days we get Agnihotradi. Nowadays, who knows Agnihotra? Nitya karmas are there. So, nitya karmas means to be done. Now, as a person, a non-sanyasi, a sanyasi has no family. Therefore, obligated duties are not there. As roles are not there. Sannyasi has no role play. Yeah, I'm a son of somebody, I had to do my duty. I'm a father of somebody, I had to do my duty. You cannot become a sannyasi when you have to have play your roles. Isn't sannyasi cannot play any roles anymore. Therefore, the duties to be performed as a role player are not there for a sannyasi. Whereas a karma yogi has to play the role, different roles, especially as a grihastha. So naturally, duties, all obligated duties are there as a father, as a husband, as a son, as a profession. So nitya karmas, obligated duties are there for a karma yogi. Sannyasi has no obligated duties. Even other karmas are also not there. No karma. Again, as a vidvat sannyasi, a person is free from what? The doership and enjoyership also. No notion about the self is there. No wrong notion about the self is there. As long as a person entertains a wrong notion about the self, we can say the person is ahankari. As long as the person is ahankari, he is a samsari also. It's a bound person. No more ahankara means what? No more wrong notions about the self. Therefore, ahankara, no kartrutvam, no bhoktrutvam. So, there's no sense of possession. Therefore, there's a purna daya, total compassion also will be there on the part of sannyasi. Supposed to be. A sannyasi must be a person of compassion. Not because must be, should be. It should become natural trait of a sannyasi. This is the sannyasa and karma yoga, isn't it? So, no obligated duties, no pratishiddha karmas, of course, for no a spiritual person should be away from pratishiddha karma. No pratishiddha karma. Because dharma anushtanam is always emphasis. One is strictly following dharma, you're conscious of universal values, and karmasu kaushalam, always discretion action means you are consciously avoiding all wrong actions. So, no prohibited actions. No kamya karmas for sannyasi. So, what is there then? Sannyasi dharma is what? As a vidvat sannyasi, has to be contemplative. As a vidisar sannyasi, will be either involved in shravanam or mananam. And even as a person Shravanam and Mananam, also the person understands. All the time, his understanding is there. But ascertainment is not there. That is why there's a big difference in the mental preparation, mental makeup of a karma yogi and a sannyasi who is given the discipline of jnana yoga. Now the question comes, many people ask me the question, we are all studying the shastram now. What are we? What should we take ourselves to be? Are we all karma yoginaha or sannyasina? We are not sannyasis. I tell you one thing. Even to, Swamiji used to say this, living a life of karma yoga is a tremendous, great tapas. This also we mentioned very, Puja Swamiji makes it very clear. See, a person, as a spiritual person who lives his life as a karma yogi, the commitment to jnanam and moksha, jnanam which itself is moksha, a conscious life of dharma, must be highly prayerful and worshipful. The problem is, people when they start listening to shastram, they think rituals are unnecessary. It's a wrong thing. In fact, a spiritual person must be very thoughtfully, gratefully worshipful and prayerful. Because living a life of dharma is a tapas, it involves tremendous strength to be able to live a life of dharma. Because we're living in a society where we're cornered to go against dharma. And it'll always be conflict. My God, I should not be doing this. I'm doing this conflict, conflict, conflict. So that is why nitya puja, nitya upasanam, nitya prarthana, regular prayer, not regular, always. Karma yogi must be always prayerful, always worshipful, always thoughtful, because there's no time karma yogi forgets Bhagavan. Therefore, being religious is very natural for a karma yogi. Being religious does not mean simply showing of oneself. No, being prayerful. And being prayerful means desperately praying for the strength to live a life of dharma. And desperately praying for the preparedness needed for jnanam. Even as a karma yogi, you can pray for jnanam. Pray for clarity of teach, understanding. I mean, prayerful actually. It is the prayer and worship which keeps karma yogi going as a karma yogi. Without prayer and worship, how can a person live off karma yoga? No, it is not possible. Without living a life of dharma, where is karma yoga? Karma, living a life of karma yoga means life must be filled with Bhagavan. And having one's life filled with Bhagavan means one must strictly live a prayerful, worshipful, righteous life consciously in conformity with all values. And having one's focus on mental preparation. What mental preparation again? Mental purification. Purification means why the person has to work for purification. You know, it is, we all know very well, we have to manage our desires. We are not able to undo our desires. We cannot undo our desires. Desires are natural. Desires have to resolve naturally. The vairagyam is there. Viveka is there, vairagyam is possible. Viveka, vairagyam are there, then desires will naturally resolve. In keeping with the degree of viveka we have, vairagyam will be there. In keeping the degree of vairagyam, desires also will be there. Less and less of desires. The more vairagyam you have, the less desires you will have. The less desires you will have, the less distracted you will be. The less distracted you will be, more focused you can be. See, this is secret. If you have to be focused, more focused, more and more focused, you must be less and less distracted. You will be naturally, effortlessly distract, free from distraction. If your really vairagyam is much stronger, The Vairagya will be stronger if your Viveka is also stronger. So in keeping with Viveka, Vairagyam will be. Keeping with the Vairagyam, your distractions, okay, you have the distraction-free mind. In keeping with the distraction-free mind, you'll have focus attention. That is why Vairagyam is always emphasized. It's not that easy. It is not that easy, isn't it? So, on the desire, and not only the desire, because of the pratibandhas, because the paradha karma, what one has is paradha. Again, the anger, jealousy, hatred, fear, anxiety, all these emotions are naturally there in every mind. There's no mind which is free from all these emotions. The proportion may differ from person to person. All these emotions are naturally there in subconscious in every human mind. The proportion may vary. The reasons for those emotions may vary. They're all there. Of course, Moola Karanam is the same for all the human beings. It is Ajnanam, Adhyasa, Adhyaropa. Ajnana, Adhyasa, Adhyaropa, Ahankaras are the basic reasons for the load, what you have, the load, heaviness you have in subconscious. We don't even know that we're heavy. But they become triggered only when situations are different. No? They become triggered and they surface. Whenever they surface, and the triggering, whatever is instrument in triggering them, is mistaken to be responsible for that. That is when a person reacts. The karma yogi is very conscious of not being reactive. So these are the problems. No, sannyasi has no problem. Sannyasi, because of the strength of the vairagyam, a sannyasi does not need to worry about these problems. He has nothing against the world. Sannyasi has no dvesha, no raga, no attachment, no dvesha towards anything. Only compassion. Because there's detachment. Because of vairagyam, dispassion and detachment, a sannyasi has no raga dveshas. Therefore, no anger. Some sannyasis may have anger. People ask. Don't say that. Actually speaking, the anger is not supposed to be. I can say 100% one thing, Satyam. When I think of it, I become really emotional. I never saw Swamiji one day shouting or screaming or getting angry. Always, he was very composed. Sometimes things even happen which we didn't like also. I never saw him being disturbed and reacting to the situation. Because sannyasa means it's a commitment. All these are there. So a karma yogi is always, that is why karma yogi means you know your mental condition. What is your mental makeup? What is your mental condition? Do you have to manage your emotions yet? Nothing wrong. If a person gets headache, do you feel bad about having headache? Nothing wrong. Having headache does not make you inferior or superior. Does not make you, isn't it? Whoever has head has a problem, headache. So every human being has a mind, therefore the problems are there. But how, whether it's a sick mind or a healthy mind? Jnani's mind is the only healthiest mind. A sannyasi's mind is, supposed to be a healthy mind. Healthiest mind, the healthier mind. A karma yogi's mind must be also healthy mind. A karma yogi is the one who is as working for healthy mind. Healthy mind might be all these emotions are the mental disease. Because they surface, and when they surface, they become expressed in the behavior because they are not managed. So managing the emotions is possible only if a person is conscious of dharma that he should not hurt. Why dharma is emphasized for a karma yogi? Because consciously living a life of dharma, not to accumulate papam, one thing. Not to hurt other people, one thing. Okay, so the person is, so he's not doing anything wrong. He's not doing any harm to any being in the world. And it's therefore what? He's conscious of dharma. Therefore, his emotions also become very well managed. So he cannot be reactive to situations. When the anger may be there. So karma yogi is the one who is able to manage his emotions. So Vidisha Sannyasi also is very much managing me. Because sannyasa, lifestyle, some problems may be there. But emotions are very well managed. As Vidvat Sannyasi can handle. Ignore and reject things. Therefore, what I'm saying, managing emotions is very, very important. It is possible. Sannyasi who's given us Shastra study all the time, there's no need for him to get emotions to get triggered. There's no interaction, involvement in any unnecessary things, isn't it? There's no possibility of even triggering the emotions. So they can resolve later on with the help of jnanam. So only in the wake of jnanam, when a person resolves his fundamental problem, and when he corrects the error in the perception of the self, only then all these emotions will be resolved for good naturally, non-triggerably they'll be resolved. Even then, because paramdoshat, even for jnani, they may come up also, but still they will not cause any damage. Whereas a karma yogi is a person who has said to manage one's emotions, but who is capable of managing emotions. Karma yogi, because of his commitment to dharma, because of commitment to live a life of values, and because his focus is on mental preparation, he can very well intelligently manage his emotions. Capable of managing his emotions. So being capable of managing one's emotions itself is what? Having certain degree of mental purification and mental steadiness. So there's not mental disturbance. We're not managing your emotions means you'll be mentally disturbed. And where this mental disturbance, the focus is not possible. Even on some duty, you cannot focus. Where's the question of focusing on Shastra study? So even to be focused, being attentive is very important. Attentive in everything you do. On some duty also. When you are doing a puja, when you are doing your chanting, when you are doing your own official, your professional job, whatever you have to do, 100% you must be attentive, focused. That being focused in anything one has to do is possible only if you are distraction-free minded. The distraction is not possible when the disturbance is not there, which means your emotions are not triggered. Your emotions are very well managed. That is why karma yogi means who has to manage his emotions very carefully. And he's capable of managing his emotions because of his commitment to dharma, because of his efforts in living a life of dharma. And that is possible because of his because of his prayerfulness. Prayerfulness. So he is still holding on to Bhagavan, who needs, who seeks desperately Bhagavan's grace for being able to live a life of dharma. That's why the Karma Yogi is the one who has shifted his dependence from the world to Bhagavan. Whereas Vidvat Sannyasi is no more dependent. Because for him, Bhagavan is there's only Bhagavan. And Bhagavan is one's own Swarupam also. Therefore, the difference is there's no more dependence, there's only independence. I want to understand the difference in the mindset, difference in mental makeup. So Vidisha Sannyasi also may be like Karma Yogi, as said, to manage his emotions, all those things. But still, exactly whatever Dharma, Jnanam, Karma Yogi has, of course, he also has. The blessing, what is the one way, one thing, Vidisha Sannyasi is more blessed that he has already got the Vairagyam, which a Karma Yogi is still working for. Of course, he must have been a Karma Yogi either in this Janma or previous Janmas. So, Sannyasi is not that one can decide to become a Sannyasi. It is the samskara, everything brings a person to somehow to Sannyasa life. And whatever, see, even after it becomes, it's not simply wearing saffron robes alone. So simply wearing saffron robes, taking life of sannyasa, and going through the ritual of sannyasa from a guru itself does not make a person sannyasi. Of course, sannyasi, but still one has to go sannyasa mentally. Difference is the external appearance, external sannyasa, bahya sannyasaha, wearing saffron robes and living, see the lifestyle, how the life person is living, etc. Living on bhikshas and living on simple life, simple things, not pursuing anything, etc. The lifestyle, the bahya sannyasa, of course, expression of one's mind also. But whether a person is sannyasi externally or not, one, if a person goes through sannyasa, that same amount of vairagya, veka vairagyam is there in the mind. The person has sankhya buddhi. I mean, sankhya means what now? Sankhya's mental makeup. A sannyasi's mental makeup a person has. Even a person has not become sannyasi physically. The sense has not outwardly, externally, the person does not appearaka sannyasa, that has not taken life of sannyasa, gone to sannyasa. See, if a person goes through mental sannyasa, means still he is a sankhya. Understand? So mental makeup is more important than outward appearance. Is it clear? It is the viveka vairagyam. Big difference between a Karma Yogi and a Sankhya. Viveka is there, therefore Vairagyam is there. Total dispassion towards everything else. I'm not interested in anything else, that is Vairagyam. And that Vairagyam also implies what? Detachment. Detachment means what? Non-dependence. Dispassion implying also what? Non-dependence is detachment. Non-dependence for one's happiness and security is detachment. If there's dependence, there'll be passion. If there's attachment, means there'll be passion. There's no more dependence. In non-dependence upon anything else in the world for one's happiness and security, then detachment, dispassion towards things also is possible. detachment and dispassion. When the detachment is there, dispassion is there, then you can see disturbance-free mind is possible. There's neither passion nor aversion towards anything. Then no more disturbance, because no reactions towards situations. How others behave, what others do, what this person to be. No more reactions. So no disturbance. Oh, that is happening there, this is happening there. Nothing attracts, nothing is into. So what? Let anything happen in any world, any part of the world. So what? There's no moksha there. There's no jnanam there. It's all sodesha vavanatri. It's all shastram. Being given shastra, the shastram, what is wanted by all is what is wanted by me, and what is wanted for me is there as myself. This is what shastram says. So I have to claim it, I have to take ownership of it, for which all that I need is, I need to be focused and focused and focused and focused and focused and focused. Distraction-free, disturbance-free. Focus attention. It's not simply practicing with meditation, all those things. As a mere practice of meditation will not help a person become focused. It is Viveka Vairagyam will help you draw your attention from everywhere else and place it with yourself. It is Viveka Vairagyam. Is there meditation? A person can be meditative, can be contemplative. It's called contemplative mental disposition. Contemplative mental disposition, we cannot buy from the market. Using my influence, using my money, using my this, that is what is mental makeup. Distraction-free, focused attention. Always attention is available for me. Just be here with the subject matter of the Shastram. Be here in seeing the Surupma of Bhagavan, seeing the Surupma of oneself. This is what I am. Am I able to dwell upon my own Surupma all the time? Attention goes here and there. Why does it go? Because still there's a lingering value for things in life. Means this Vairagyam is not firm enough. Attention goes somewhere else means still Vairagyam is not steady. Somebody came and told me, you know, the most for me, I really love to study all the time Swamiji, you know, but sometimes YouTube, you know, I just think only, okay, let me see only for 1 minute, 2 minutes. Then once I start seeing, my God, I don't know how hours go. The person was very honest. And then that is why old people should come out of all this, what all this, you know, social media is unnecessary. Somebody was asking, Swamiji, why do you want to travel? You know, I said, again, some commitment I made for Swamiji. It's a Guru Sambandha. To be frank, you know, why this, no more. Then why Facebook? Only people who want to market their products, who are in business, who expect some benefit out of it, must be in media, must be in all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Yes, you must be successful businessman, you must be there in all those things. We should market with it. No, Pooja Swamiji never said, okay for this marketing is. Vedanta should not be marketed. Otherwise, Shankara Bhagavad Pada would have marketed it, and four matrams must be filled with people now, disciples. All matrams, you know, even though he established four matrams, four big centers, four corners of India, never wanted to, it is not something to be marketable. One has to come in samskara, isn't it? But these teachings must have been available all the time through, you know, simply through Mahabharata, Ramana, Upanyasams, and so all other Mahatmas, you know, we listen to lifestyle histories of the biographies of Narayan Margal, Aalvargal, are many, many great devotees like Nandanar. Listen to all those things, inspiration. And now, inspired by those things, one must apadatta jnana, one must have that jnana. Oh, this is what my goal is. So all Upanyasakas, definitely they teach artha kama dharma moksha. So to become totally committed to the pursuit of jnanam, I mean to pursuit of Bhagavan, presupposes a focused, distraction-free, disturbance-free attention, which is very difficult to get. No, the vairagya must be there. Without vairagya, it's not possible. Dispassion and detachment. And that we vairagya will not come overnight. It has to be. It has, only viveka is that it is possible. That's why being clear about what I want in life, how I should do it. At the same time, it should not be some temporary dispassion, vairagyam also, like smashana vairagyam. When problems come in life one after the other, problems in the office, problems in things, then people will think, oh, let me, I'm not interested in this world anymore because it's full of problems. No. Not smashana vairagyam. That is why Karma Yoga is prescribed. You are a spiritual person, do your duties with this attitude, prayerfully, worshipfully, with the proper attitude, in conformity with Dharma, and you take care of your growth, emotional maturity, purification, steadiness, vivek, vairagyam. At the same time, you tremendously contribute for society's well-being also. Karma Yogi is a contributor through his dharma. Vidvat sannyasi, Risha sannyasi also contributors to society by their very the life of tapas. That is why India always, in India and Vedic society, it was highly revered. Sannyasis were revered and they were given free food. Bhiksha was given, clothing was given, the basic needs were always taken care of because of the respect they had for the tapas of the sadhus. So the big difference is the mental makeup. So that is why these disciplines have to be followed sequentially, they cannot be combined. Samuchaya is not possible. Is it clear? Have I clarified? So anyway, whatever way the person thinks also, there's no way of combining Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga simultaneously. Now, even if you're given to the discipline of listening to the Shastra, now we are all doing Shravanam only. It's a Shravanam. The discipline is the first step in the discipline of Jnana Yoga. So we are not sannyasis. No. This is why I'm telling you again. Listening to the teaching is always recommended. What else can you do? To be a Karma Yogi, you must be listening to the Shastram. You need guidance from the Shastram to live your life as a Karma Yogi. You need a guidance from the Shastram to live your life as a sannyasi, as a Sankhya. So you must listen. Understand? A Karma Yogi should listen to the teaching. Listening to the teaching, you follow. In keeping with your mental makeup, you have to choose the lifestyle. Listen to the Shastram in keeping with your mental makeup. You have to follow your lifestyle. Got it now? Okay, doubt. Keep on listening. But how much Vishasanyasi listens? How much Vishasanyasi listens? How much a Karma Yogi listens? The difference is there. How much one grasps, how much one retains, how much one assimilates, the difference is there. Doesn't matter. So listening to the Shastram is very important. Just because we are listening, we cannot become Karma Yogi or a Jnana Yogi. Listening to the teaching, understanding the importance of Dharma, or implement the knowledge of Dharma in day-to-day life. Vedantic knowledge cannot be implemented. There's something to be understood and that's all. Dharma jnanam should be implemented. Brahma jnanam should be lived. Dharma jnanam should be implemented in day-to-day life. Knowledge of Dharma should be, isn't it? When it, in doing all my duties, I must see that the values are followed. It's implementing. I implement. Varsa, Brahma Jnanam, what is that to implement? Just live that life. Live that Jnanam as Brahma. As Jivan Muktaha. Until the Videh Mukti takes place. Okay. Well, we don't need to unnecessarily worry about am I coming or not. Listen to the teaching. See how your mental makeup is. There's no need to compare oneself with other person. What others are doing, how others are. I am bothered about myself. Okay. It's called minding one's own business. Minding one's own business means what? I take care of my health. My mental makeup, my jnanam. That's why Swamiji says, be intelligently selfish. You be intelligently selfish, you will not do any harm to anybody. So take care of your well-being, take care of your mental well-being. You're taking care of your mental well-being means you are the most harmless person to the society. If you want to be real contribute for the society, you take care of your well-being. So do the needful in conformity with the Shastra. Okay, therefore what? Jnanam and Karma. Jnanam need not be combined, cannot be combined with the Karma because Jnanam and Karma are opposed to each other. Because the attitude opposed means what? That all the views will change. I am the doer, that notion will disappear in jnanam. And to be a person of, be involved in karma, one must have that notion, I am the doer. I think I must have clarified your doubts. If you have doubts, please text me. And next class, we will take care. It's okay. Before that also, I can definitely text you. Because this is very important teaching. We can't afford to have doubts. It's a bound and duty to clarify the doubts. And all that I can tell you one thing, we must intensely, fervently pray to Bhagavan always to bless us with the strong will and knowledge of right and wrong. And as praying for Jnanam, that will take care. Then you do the prayer, you see, you will find, as a student now, you will see how you are helped. Even your understanding capacity will be different. Things will really fall in their place, in a sense, you know. You can see that penny dropping. So prayer works. And prayer will match slowly, gradually, beautifully culminate in sannyasa vritti, manasa sannyasa. That is very important. You can't afford to be. If you are a person of dispassion, detachment, you are a sannyasi. Irrespective of whether you wear outwardly sannyasa dress or not. Then no comments. That doesn't mean that we should get to criticize the sannyasis who are in saffron robes. No. If I said minding one's own business means one has to take care of one's own life. Isn't it? Okay. Anything else we asked here? I have so many things to say. I'll keep it for next class. And as an introduction to the fourth chapter, don't worry, in the fourth verse also, Bhagavan is going to again, Shankar Bhagavatpada is going to explain. We hold on to Shankar Bhagavatpada. And Anandagiri will be watching, walking alongside of him. We have Anandagiri Tika, Shankar Bhagavatpada's Bhashyam, and Bhagavan Krishna's words, Pujya Swamiji's unfoldment. What else do we need? We have got everything, above all, okay? Say for Bhagavan, in the fourth verse, says, simply giving up activities, renouncing activities, not performing activities, does not make a person a sannyasi. Oh, I don't do any more obligated duties. I give up all the activities. Does it mean a sannyasi? A person has become a sannyasi? No. That's why merely giving up the physical activities, renouncing the physical activities, does not help a person a real sannyasi. Jnani is a real sannyasi. Does not help a person attain moksha, attain naishkarmyam. So it's a beautiful verse. I'll explain every word of this verse again next class. Okay? So fourth verse will begin from next week. If you still have doubts, you can ask me. Now we don't need to worry about whether I had to follow this. Now we know what our mental makeup is. Accordingly, whichever discipline you are following, still you are with the Shastra. You are with Bhagavan. You are on the right track. And your goal is very clear. You will not fail. You will definitely, isn't it? You'll be blessed with that. So we'll see the fourth verse next week. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.